are going to be in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. God's word says this: "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We ask that you would help us to have this type of confidence, this type of legacy that comes from fighting the good fight. Lord, teach us. Teach us how to do this. Our time is short, as Paul's time was short here, but he had great confidence. I pray, Lord, that you would give us all this great confidence.
Yes, Lord.
And not just from feeling or emotion, mm-hmm. but because we are living out the gospel. Help us, Lord. We need you. Yes. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title, How to Grow Your Behavioral Stamina, Be Fighting, could have been Be Dying. That doesn't sound as exciting. Mm-hmm. But really, that's what's happening here. Because the fighting part, he's looking back. He's fought the good fight. It's past tense. He's looking backwards. And so it could have been Be Dying. But fighting and dying kind of go together. Those who biblically fight well die well. No, you want to die well. You think of a fighter, you think of a leader, you think of maybe a general or an emperor like Napoleon. But this is what his dying words were. He said, "I die before my time." He was my age. "And my body will be given back to the earth to become the food of worms. Such is the fate which so soon awaits the great Napoleon." How sad. A great fighter, a great leader, and yet, was he great? Was he truly fighting? Again, those who biblically fight well die well. And the question is this: are you fighting well? Are you living a life that looks like fighting for Christ? And that's what we're going to see here. Three aspects of fighting that every Christian must understand. Three aspects. And the purpose is that you would grow in your belief about biblical fighting. Many Christians say, we're supposed to be meek, gentle. I don't fight. And they say this as a cover for their cowardice. But we need to be those that understand this, understand biblical fighting. Before we go on, we're going to review a little bit. We're almost done with 2 Timothy, so we don't want to forget the great truths that we have learned. And we saw this first. We saw that we must be thankful. You want to be a good fighter? You want to be someone that has a good life? You want to look back? with a sense of purpose being fulfilled, a sense of maybe pride, then be thankful. And what are we supposed to be thankful for? Our salvation in the church of God. And my question is, are you thankful for that? Many people have no idea what it is to be thankful for the church. They're always down on the church. They hate the church. And the church needs rebuking. I understand that. But do you love the church? Are you thankful for her? Do you love your faith? Something that has been given to you. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you. And then we saw we need to be courageous. There's a calling upon all of our lives. And we need to be courageous in fulfilling this calling. And that calling has to be in association with Christ's purpose. Christ's purpose, the church on earth. Are you courageous in this purpose? We also saw that we need to be suffering. This message, this life, this fighting will bring suffering. Are you so afraid of suffering that it causes you to be unfaithful? Or do you realize that Christ suffered? I'm following Christ. He's the master. The servants are going to suffer. Now, we're not going to suffer to the degree that he suffered, separating himself from God for our behalf, yet being holy. We're not talking about that, but he suffered physically, emotionally, because he was a fighter. Are you willing to suffer? Are you thankful? Are you courageous? Are you suffering? And then we saw that we need to be owning. We need to retain our zeal. We need to recognize cowardice. We also saw that we need to be strong, like a teacher, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer. And we said those occupations are seen and known. People know, okay, that's Farmer Joe. Sometimes that's his like first name, right? Farmer Joe. Oh, there's a guy. He's a great boxer. Oh, there's Bill. He's a soldier. When people look at you, do they say, that's a Christian? I know that's a Christian. I hate him, but I know he's a Christian. Right? And then we saw that we need to be warning. We need to be those that are warning. Now, this is not nagging. All right? This is not nagging, but it is warning. We have a serious job, if you will. We are to be the ones that warn the lost. And that's what we were doing yesterday, right? We were warning people. They need to be warned. Someone needs to do it. You say, well, isn't there like a, I don't know, a branch of the government can be the warning branch and send out like an alert on your phone, like a tornado warning that we're probably going to get a little later. So your phones might go off during service. Are you warning? If you don't warn, no one will know. If the church doesn't warn, no one will know. We are the ones given the task of warning people. Are you doing that? It calls for a serious life. It's serious, but it is joyful. Joyful. And then we saw that we need to be separating. Separating, you say, yeah, we need to separate ourselves from the world. Yeah, but in context, he's not talking about that. He says you need to be separating yourselves from those that name the name of Christ and yet live in sin. Don't hang out with them. Why? Because they're going to associate you with them and say, oh, those are what Christians are. No, we need to excommunicate them with the desire and purpose that they would come back into repentance. But they need to be marked out. They need to be pointed at. And they need to be pushed out until they repent. Don't associate yourself with those Christians that are in sin, that give themselves to sin. That say, God is so merciful. He allows me to fornicate. He allows me to do this. He allows me to be gay. No, you're not a Christian. Repent. Now, they might be a Christian. We don't know. But they shouldn't be treated like a Christian. Right? And then we saw we need to be discerning. We need to be those that be able, just like discerning the weather. The storm is coming, right? We know a storm's coming today because we have our apps. But are you discerning about the storms of life? Are you discerning about those that would teach false doctrines? Again, yesterday we saw some Jehovah's Witnesses. And then Kevin was beating up on him. No, he's being nice to him. And then we left. And then Michael right behind him. Michael pulls out the Greek and starts boom, boom. Right? Why did we do that? Because we're discerning. We know what they look like. They're dressed up really nice, and they're really sweet people, and they have literature, but they're completely deceived. And we need to be discerning. Are you discerning? And then we saw that we need to be observing bad men. We need to be discerning of them, that we need to watch for them, and we need to be careful to point them out, these false prophets within the church. And then I think it was the last couple of weeks we've been going into persisting. We need to be persisting in the word. We need to be following. We need to be following good leaders, not the false prophets, but we need to be following those men that are faithful. And then last week, finally, we need to be preaching. We need to be preaching. This is ironic, weird. Yesterday was so strange. We're in downtown Raleigh. There's churches all around, these beautiful buildings. They're beautiful, made of stone and hundreds of years old. And yet, where were they? Why weren't they preaching? Why weren't they out there? So strange. We're in strange times, guys. Like, the church should have been out there, but these churches aren't churches. These churches are buildings, but they're not churches on the inside, mm-hmm. right? They're full of dead men's bones. Mm-hmm. It's just strange that, like, our church, our little church, had like 7 people go out there, like half our church, right? And then there's like a handful of other evangelists, but they would go to different churches and all that. But Christ Reformed Fellowship was representing well for the whole city. What, I mean, when in 20 minutes of downtown, there's thousands of churches. Just crazy. Why us? I don't know. But we need to be preaching. Again, it doesn't mean that everybody's a preacher. It doesn't mean everybody has these gifts. But we need to be lifting the arms of the preacher or carrying the speaker for the preacher. Michael's carrying the speaker around. Sam's like, I want to help this guy out. It's beautiful, right? And so we need to be excited about preaching. We need to love the preaching of the word on Sundays in the church and then outside of the church. We need to love the preaching. We need to love it. You need to love it. Do you? So these are the things we've been learning in 2 Timothy. Now let's look at this one today. Be fighting. 3 aspects of fighting that every Christian must understand. You must get this. You must get this. You must believe this. The first one is behavioral stamina grows when you believe that fighting the good fight is a great sacrifice. Fighting the good fight is a great sacrifice. Verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. This is the present. He's saying, hey, I am what? Dying. But look at the urgency for here. It says, for I, just like in verse 5, it says, but you, Timothy, it's emphatic. For I, so there's a sense of urgency there. There's a sense of Paul knows that he's dying and Timothy is taking his place in a way. It doesn't mean he's an apostle, but he's going to carry on the burden of the churches. And so if you know you're dying, there is a sense of urgency. You guys know you're dying. We're all dying. Mm-hmm. We're all dying. That's scary. Scary. Or is it? Or is it? Paul's about to die. Paul had almost died many, many times, but now he's certain. And I think the Lord has given him special insight, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been stoned, you know, and then get back up, start preaching. He's bitten by snakes, shipwrecked, whipped, beaten, mm-hmm. so many times. You know, three times, 39 lashes, right? It's like they didn't do 40 because 40 would be the one that probably would kill most people. So they did 39. Thanks. Three times Paul got this. And yet, now he's in prison. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to die. But do you know that you're going to die? Right? I mean, this is serious. You're going to die. And what are you going to have? You're going to be like Napoleon? Saying, hey, my body's going to the worms. This is it. With all his greatness and all his conquering, he had no hope. But will you die with hope, great hope? James 4:14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's you. You're a vapor. You will vanish. Could be tomorrow. Could be today. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hoping, we're praying that we have a long, full life. Many grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's a good thing. But it could be tomorrow. And what if you knew, like Paul? He knew. If you knew that tomorrow you're going to die, would you look back on your life and say, I've been fighting the good fight? Some of you can say that. Some of you can't. So start. Start fighting the good fight. You must see that your time is short. Again, we talked about this earlier. You're going to put things on your calendar. What's on your calendar? What's on your calendar? You know, Daniel, I know three times a day was part of his habit, right? He's praying. But what's on your calendar? What are you doing? Daily habits and in the future. Again, put things on your calendar that matter. There's this one guy that I watch. His name's Jesse something. He used to be a rapper. And then he was the first one that made coconut water. I don't know if you guys are into coconut water. But it's the bomb. It's awesome. But he started it. And he's just an entrepreneurial guy. But his whole thing now is like, he sells like this big calendar. He's like, put things on the calendar. Right? And some of you have lists. You have vacations. You have different places you want to go. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to experience these things. Right? All right. Do those. Do them all for the glory of God. But put things on the calendar that matter. And a part of that is going to be, I mean, weekly, it should be the gathering of the saints, right? I mean, at least that. But again, you need to be those that would put things on the calendar with the advancement of the gospel. Put things on the calendar. What's on your calendar? There is an urgency. Are you living in this urgency? But look at the offering here. He says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. He knows his time is about to come. But what is this drink offering? In the sacrificial system, you would have the burnt offering from the animal, then they would do a grain offering, and then finally a drink offering. It was wine is what it was. Now some think that maybe it was the blood from the sacrificial animals at the base, but I think it's a drink offering, and he's talking about the wine. And then some people think it's signifying the way that he was about to die, spilling his blood. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm sure he had special insight, but I'm thinking that he was looking at his whole life as an offering. Now it's being poured out, though. He knows it's coming to the end, but his whole life as a sacrifice unto God. But do you see your life as this? or is it yours? It's my life, right? I get to do what I want to do with my life. Oh, who gave you your life? Who made
right.
you?
Right.
And what did he make you for? Mm-hmm. For you. It is a blessing. You get to live this life. It is a great gift. But what do you do with the gift? What do you do with your life? Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So what does that look like? I mean, what does it look like to present my body? This is weird. I'm not the animal. I'm not going to be sacrificing myself. I mean, didn't Christ sacrifice himself? Yeah, he led the way. What does it look like? Verse 2 of Romans 12. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed. We talked about this before. The world is trying to stamp you out in a cookie type fashion, right? Little Santa Claus cookie, little star cookie. The world's saying, this is all you're going to be. This is all you're going to be. This is all you're going to be. We want you to do this. Mm-hmm. We want you to do this. The world's always preaching. It's funny they make fun of us when we're out there preaching. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the world is preaching more and constantly preaching than the Christians. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's doing great work within the church. He's doing something different than the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. But are you giving yourself to that? I mean, why was Paul in jail? He would not conform. He would not conform. He wouldn't shut his mouth because of the glories of what his Savior had done for him. He would not stop talking about this glorious gospel. And many of us, we don't even want to talk about it because we don't want to offend anybody. Because we like the conforming. I mean, it's the conforming save, it's nice. It's, mm-hmm. it's a nice warm cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to eat. Everybody will laugh with you as you're eating your little cookie together. But that's not what we're called to. He would not conform. What did he do? He fought the good fight. Do you see your whole life as a sacrifice unto God? If you don't, change your ways. Again, look at your calendar. Look at your week. Does it look like godliness? Does it look like this is something that I'm going to be proud of in the future? Or does it look like I am God and I'm serving myself? Who are you serving? Prove it by your calendar. Prove it by your habits. Who are you serving? You say, man, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's called being sacrificial. But what you're going to find is, no, it is hard, but it's glorious. Right? It's glorious. And what you want is to start getting to the point, kind of like working out, get to the point where you're like, oh, I want to go work out. Right? I want to go to the gym. It hurts. It was awful. But now I want to do it. Right? And you don't do it alone. You go with other people. It's easier. I can't go. My wife goes out of town and I stop going to the gym. And she comes back and I'm ready to go. We don't have to do this alone, guys. None of this is done alone. That's beautiful. So we see that behavioral stamina grows when you believe that fighting the good fight is a great sacrifice. Do you believe that this is a great sacrifice? You're fighting the good fight. Yeah, I'm going to fight the good fight. You go on the street, yeah, okay, I'm going to tell people what's up about Jesus. I'm fighting. All right? But when you go home, you got to fight too. It's a sacrifice, guys. Do you believe this? Are you sacrificing? And then let's look at this. Behavioral stamina grows when you believe that fighting a good fight is a great faithfulness. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. Again, we started verse 6, the present. Now he's talking about the past. He's looking back. He knows he's going to die. He's about to die. But now he's looking back. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. This is a faithful struggle. What is a fight? A fight is a struggle. Two guys are struggling against each other in the boxing ring. It's a fight. It's a struggle. In your life, dedicated to Christ, is going to be a struggle. It's a struggle. It's going to be, you're going to be fighting. Again, the idea is that you're fighting, yes, against yourself, yes, and all that, but there's a fighting against the world system, a fighting against false theology, a fighting against what they're preaching about, what they love, what they worship, making fun of you loving and worship the true and living God. It's going to be a struggle, but it's a faithful struggle. And so the question would be, are you struggling for the advancement of the kingdom? Are you struggling for the advancement of the kingdom? So our message is different than the world, but our life is different than the world too. It's one thing to go preach, but then you have to flesh out your preaching and your teaching and your theology with your daily life. So does your family look like fighting? A struggle? Your personal life? Your thought life? Is that a struggle? Are you fighting? Are you trying to take everything captive for the glory of God? It's a faithful struggle. Like men of old, protecting their land from invading enemies coming into their territory, standing shoulder to shoulder, fighting for a great cause. Will you be able to look back? Will you be able to think of the battles, the wars that you won for Christ? Will you be able to say, I have fought? Can you say it from last week? A year ago? I have fought. Your life up to now. Can you say with Paul, I have fought? If you can't, change things. Pray to God. Ask Him to help you. Amen. Now, if you can, we don't want to get too proud, but how can we go further? What can we do? What can we learn? How can I fight more? How can I be excited about this fighting? Great men that battle. There's guys that like to fight. Paul was a fighter, and he's our example. And so some of us, we don't like to fight. I mean, we might play some video games, right? But to really go out and start boxing people, right? Really, I could say I like to fight. I check the boxes. Theologically, I agree about fighting. But actually fighting, where I might get my nose bloodied, I don't know about that. There's some guys that like bloody noses. That was Paul. And so you need to ask, say, Lord, by the grace of God, help me to be that kind of freak. Right? That's it, because he's crazy. A faithful struggle. A faithful struggle. Now look, it's a noble cause too. This is a fight. It is a struggle, but it is a good fight. It's noble. It's good. It's right. Many Christians don't believe this is right. They say, no, no conflict at all. All of a sudden they become Hindus or they're Gandhi or something. Right? They're afraid they don't want to, they're vegans or whatever. But no, this is good. He wants us to fight. It's a biblical fighting. It's noble. Do you see the advancement and glory of Christ the same as the advancement of the message of Christ? Some people want to distinguish that. I believe in Jesus. I love him. I don't think you know what Jesus said. Right? Who's the Jesus you're following? I'm the nice Jesus, all the nice words. He said mean words too. He had fighting words too. He did knock over some tables too. Right?
Right.
And so, do you see that as noble though? You know how many people in theological debates about Jesus turning over the tables? They're struggling with it, thinking about it, writing papers on it. He's a man. He got mad. And it was glorious. It was good. It was righteous. Some of you need to get mad. You need to have some emotion about this. You need to have some anger about this. It's a noble cause. Are you ashamed to tell people that they're dead in their sins? Are you ashamed to tell people that there's only one way to escape hell? Are you ashamed to tell the truth about people's souls? Or do you not believe it? If you don't believe it, then you have a problem. If you do believe it and you're not saying it, you're a coward. Just ask God to help you. Again, we were talking about cowardice and fear yesterday, and how the apostles would pray for boldness. The apostles! Peter speaks, 3,000 people come to Christ, and then he's still praying for boldness. So that's what we need to do. We need to pray for boldness. Are you ashamed of the words and how Jesus said it? He said this: I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Are you ashamed of the exclusive claim of Jesus Christ? When I say you're ashamed, meaning when you start to have spiritual conversations, do you bring these things up? Just get to the point, right? Mm-hmm. Just get to the point quickly. Call them out in their sin. And then talk about what Jesus has said about himself. And say, hey, there's only one way. Are you ashamed of this? This is noble. It's good. You need to see this as good. And you need to see this as the way in which we fight and struggle for the gospel. The message rubs the proud heart the wrong way and is made to do that. It exposes, it cuts, right? The word, the sword of the Spirit cuts deep, makes people angry. They hate it. Why? Because they love themselves, they love their works. They don't want people telling them that they're sinful. That is the message. Are you ashamed of the message? Be faithful, a faithful struggle, a noble cause, a certain course. See that course there? I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. This literally refers to running a race. Metaphorically, it has the idea of fulfilling a lifetime career, a lifetime occupation, a lifetime, maybe a military career, right? It's nice to retire, right? Done. It's like that phase of life is over. And this is what Paul is saying. Did it. I'm in jail. He's still ministering, but he sees it's being over. It's being poured out. But he's like, I did it. He's speaking truthfully about his life. He can see it clearly. He knows what he did. He knows the mission that was given him. And he knows that he fulfilled it. This is very simple, guys. Do you have this kind of confidence? Like, yeah, I'm doing it. I've finished. Maybe you don't know you're going to die, but if I was to die today, I've been doing it. Do you have that confidence? Paul wants that for you. God wants that for you. It's a certain course. It's a course. Everyone's been given this course. Will you fulfill it? As a starting point, as an ending point, will you fulfill it? When you came to Christ, that was the beginning of the course. And there will be an end. Yeah, when I got out of the, you know, you do like 4-year enlistments in the military, and it's nice to be done. It's nice to be done. Finish the course. That's kind of my whole career, my whole life has been like, I want to start something and I want to finish it and be done with it. Right? Just, there you go. It's not good for building wealth or anything like that, but at least I can say I got some things done, right? And this is the idea. He had this confidence that he finished. And this is what I want for you. That as you look back in maybe 6 month or in year increments, you can say, yeah, I'm sinful, I'm imperfect, but I've been putting things on the calendar. I've been doing these things. I've been living for Christ as best as I can. I think I'm on the course. I think I'm doing the course. You know? And there's some guys that just go and they take a job. They don't know why. They got a job because they got to eat. They don't know when it's going to end. And they're not, there's no purpose, right? There's no real purpose. Providing's a good thing, but are they giving themselves to it? Like in the military, it's kind of built in that you could give yourself to it. And there's certain jobs that maybe there's bonuses and different things where, man, if you give yourself to it, there's more reward. The point here is that, hey, there's this course. There's definitely going to be a reward. There is a retirement. But are you giving yourself to this? And this is what you have to ask yourself. Lord, help me to give myself to this. It's not my life. It's your life. It's a living sacrifice. We've already got that out of the way. Now let me do this to the best of my abilities. By your spirit, by your power, a certain course. Then finally, in this section, diligent preservation. Fought the good fight, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Kept, carries the idea of watching over, heeding, or preserving. And what are you keeping? The faith. The body of doctrine, a message of the gospel. We don't deny it. We live it. Just many will say that they believe it and then not live it. But we won't deny it. We'll say, yes, we're going to hold this and then we live it. What's the difference between the churches that should have been downtown and our church? And not to be boastful or proud, is that we were just living it. It wasn't perfect. I could have said some things better, some of the people I talked to. Michael probably could have preached a little better on some of the things he did. No, it was good. But in his mind, I know he's thinking, I should have said this, I could have said that. It's not perfect. But we're living it. They know we believe it. I can tell you that much.
Amen.
We were having fun. I don't know if they were having fun, but we were having fun. They were drinking, but that's not the fun that we were talking about. Behavioral stamina grows when you believe that fighting the good fight is a great sacrifice, is a great faithfulness, and finally brings a great reward. This is the hope that we have. There is this retirement ceremony that's coming up. Where there'll be singing, food, and just an amazing time. It's coming.
Amen.
And so this is kind of our hope. This is our vision for the future. We know that unlike Napoleon had no hope, we have great hope. We have great hope. Verse 8, in the future, because present, past, and now in verse 8, the future, there is laid up for me, laid up. the great guard. And what am I getting at here? This laid up carries the idea of safely stored, carefully guarded. 1 Peter 1, verse 4 says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. You're going to get this inheritance, this retirement, this pension, if you will, that's imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Reserved means guarded. Reserved means watched over in heaven for you. So heaven is this place where everything, that all the reward of the Christian is going to be stored up. A place where no one can break in. Heaven is the vault of all vaults. We watched the movie. We watched some movie. I love the movies where they're breaking into things.
I love the movies about stealing.
But, you know, they gotta figure out, you know, it's chess. You know, it's like, if we go here and the guards are here, then we do this, and then we can, you know, we can get in here, and it's strategizing, and then they get it, and then hopefully the movie ends where they all get busted. Because that's righteous, right? But at least, it does, yeah. It does. If they get away, then it's like, well, that's not right. And so you get in, but, and the vault is secure, but who made the vault? Who made the place? Who is the great guard? It is God himself. And nothing will be lost. Everything that you sacrifice for him will not be lost. Nothing. Ever. Forever. He's going to guard it. It's beautiful. There's no one going to break in. There's no corruption there. There's no rusting, right? Everything that's built and stored up for Christ that is for you is going to last forever and ever and ever. You know, I don't know, Carl, what'd they give you for your retirement? Anything? A little pamphlet? Something?
You guess.
You didn't get a watch.
No.
You used to get watches.
Statue.
Got a statue, yeah. It's like, thank you. This is awesome. The statue is going to break, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the crazy kid's going to knock it off.
The check. Constant check.
That's right. Yeah, the check is what we want. But is that secure? And then you have inflation. Yeah, we'll give you this forever. But money raises. Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Nothing will be lost. Nothing. Nothing. And again, all the things that you do for Christ, some 30, some 60, some 100, whatever it is. It is talking about that, in that, I'm sure. But I think specifically it's talking about the crown. The crown. I think it's Stephanos in the Greek. It was a wreath placed on the head of a winning athlete. It was a great honor to get this. You worked the games, you won, you got this wreath. And we know in 1 Corinthians that it is a perishable wreath, but we get a crown that is imperishable. We get something that is not going to fade. But what is the crown? Look what it says. It's a crown of righteousness. It's a crown of righteousness. It's like, what does that look like? No, you will be righteous. You will be made righteous. Everybody should be clapping right now. Mm-hmm. Come on! Let's go! You will be made righteous!
Amen.
Don't you want that?
Yes, Lord, please.
Are we so... What are we doing here?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Can't you see your imperfections? Your sin? We confess it. We know positionally we're righteous, but in reality, we will be made righteous. That is the crown. That is what's going to be preserved. That's forever and ever. You're going to be made like Christ. 1 John 3:2. We know that when he, Christ, appears, we shall be like him. This is insane. Uh-huh. We don't deserve to be like him. Uh-huh. We don't deserve righteousness. Uh-huh. But we will. Your salvation is so great that you'll be like Christ.
You're right.
We don't deserve it, but it's going to happen, and no one's gonna steal it. No one's gonna take it away from us. It's a great guard. It's a great crown, and it happens on this great day. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed, for this perishable must put on the imperishable." Can you see that? The perishable will put on the imperishable. It's like putting on a garment. It's like putting on a wreath. It's like putting on something. This mortal must put on immortality. It's talking about us, guys. Mm-hmm. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and the mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Napoleon didn't have this. Not many of us are great. Not many of us are going to be generals, commanding armies, or being presidents or kings. But we're going to be crowned with greatness. Our last words should not be full of shame and regret, but hope and victory. Because of what Christ has done.
Right.
And again, I almost hate to say this, but the thief on the cross is going to have the same crown of glory. Now, we're going to have gifts. He might not have extra things, right? But he's still going to be made righteous. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just died, right? Lord, forgive me. His faith, he died. He didn't have time to do anything great, anything better. So I'm not saying that your works get you here, but I'm saying when God has saved you, and like the thief on the cross, what if he had more time? What if by a miracle the Lord let him live? Mm-hmm. Do you think that he would live for the glory of God forever, for the rest of his life? Probably. And that's us. We're that thief on the cross. Mm-hmm. We've been saved, right. And we've been getting extra time.
Right.
This is I call this gravy, spiritual gravy. We get extra time just to live for his glory. And then even that he's going to reward. Even that he's going to give us more and more. And I don't even know what that looks like. Authority, I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going to happen in the new kingdom and all these things. But even that he's going to bless. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Paul wants to make it very clear that he's not just speaking of himself. Look what he says. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. This is why I'm speaking of just basic righteousness. Because he says, and not only to me. You see that? He's not saying, look, I was so great. I did this. Three times the 39 lashings. He's not saying that. He's saying, this is just basic. Basic blessing, which is amazing. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Praise God.
And so what does that mean? To love his appearing. Coming to Christ means that you love him, that you repent, that you see your sin, that you turn to him. But it's more than just emotional love, even though it is that, but it's submission, right? We have emotional love in a marriage, but there's a covenant there. There's still a submission there. There's duty that needs to happen. Michael needs to provide for his wife. His wife needs to respect her husband. And so with that love comes duty, comes mission, comes honor, comes belief. We all love a wreath of righteousness. But then he's going on further, and he says, basically, do you love a day of judgment? Like, we get all thinking about the wreath, and we're like, this is beautiful, this is great. But when he comes back, there will be judgment. There will be judgment. And what does it say? Which the Lord, the righteous judge. We're trusting in his judgments. When he comes back to judge, we're trusting that in his appearing, we're gonna love his judgments. We're going to love his judgments. They're all going to be righteous. There's not going to be one that's unrighteous. He's not going to judge unjustly. He is a good judge. Do you love him believing that? Of course you love him for your salvation, but do you love him for him being judged? Because that is the Jesus that we serve. We talked about this last week. He's judge. The unrighteous don't want his appearing. The righteous love his appearing. The unrighteous hate his appearing. They want the rocks to cover them. They want to hide because they realize they haven't been following. They realize they haven't been living for him. They have regret, and now he's going to judge them. Do you love that? The Christian loves that. The Christian has to love that.
Right.
You have to be able to hold Jesus as being the great Savior and at the same time being the great judge.
Uh-huh.
It comes together. Don't separate the two. Let's review. A great section of Scripture, hopefully bringing excitement, hope, challenge. And we saw that behavioral stamina grows when you believe that fighting the good fight is a great sacrifice. There's this urgency upon you. Are you seeing your life as a vapor? Are you seeing your life as a sacrifice? An offering. This drink offering being poured out. The hourglass has been turned. We don't know when the sand's going to run out, but we know it's going to happen. We don't know how long we got. What are you doing with your time? Get your calendar in order. Get your calendar in order. You do that for your job. You do that for vacations. What is on the calendar for the Lord? The Lord's Day? Yes. That's the one thing that we want. The one thing that's required. We talk about membership. That is required. The Lord's Day. That's important. And then you should put on. You want more blessing? You want more? And put on some other things too. Right? And we try to do other things. We got like a hymns and hops we got going on. Is that required? No. Is it a blessing? Yeah. Right? Gathering with the saints, learning to sing, drinking ale. Come on. What else? Some evangelism. Put some of that on there. Prayer time. Yeah. Doing things together. Put as much as you can for the glory of God. And then we saw that behavioral stamina grows when you believe that fighting the good fight is a great faithfulness. It's faithful. It's faithful. Fighting is faithful. It's a struggle, but it's noble. And there's a course that you're on, and that course needs to be involved with your life. Like retirement, there's a beginning and an end. And then finally, behavioral stamina grows when you believe that fighting the good fight brings a great reward. Are you excited about this reward? Are you excited about the judgment of God that's coming upon the earth? You should be, because that's when everything's going to be made righteous. But the rebellious, the sinful, they will be punished. Hell is real. Do you believe this? All right, let's pray. Father, help us this week. Challenge us this week, Lord. Help us to come to you and ask that you would help us in this great struggle. Help us to fill this calendar, Lord. Help us this week to come to you and say, Lord, search my heart. Am I being cowardly? Am I being conformed to the image of the world? Help me to know that I don't have to do this alone, Lord, that you've given us the church, and it's a great benefit to our souls that we could not have to do this alone, but together. So give us, help us this week, Lord, to come to you, to be honest with you, and then help us to fill our calendars for your glory. Lord, we love you, and we ask that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to 411. We'll sing, My Hope is Built.